The time is 6 o'clock. This is Radio Ghana, the news presented by Abraham Donko
and Ibrahim Kwarteng.
In the headlines, re-registration of NHIS card registrants ends tomorrow. Supreme Court will today decide fate of owners of Munti FM and three others on contempt charges. President Mahama emphasizes use of dialogue as solution to Syria and Iraqi crisis. South African President Jacob Zuma to repay $540,000 for controversial renovation of home. And Argentina announces national plan to fight violence against women. The re-registration of voters who had their names deleted from the electoral roll will end tomorrow. This follows an order by the Supreme Court to the Electoral Commission to delete names of about 56,000 voters who registered with NHIS cards during the 2012 election. The Supreme Court subsequently ordered the EC to give such people the opportunity to re-register. Hence, the EC's 21-day exhibition of voters' register and the 10-day registration of deleted NHIS card registrants. Speaking on Behind the News last night, the Assistant Head of Communications at the EC, Yusuf Ayuba, said so far 14,801 people have re-registered. He said the commission is not satisfied with the level of patronage, but could not tell whether the period will be extended or not.
The Electoral Commission had re-registered 14,801 persons whose names were deleted from the register had gone to the various Electoral Commission offices to re-register.
So 14,000 out of 56,000, is that correct?
Yes. The Electoral Commission is still not satisfied with the patronage. We have adopted strategies to make sure that such persons get their names in the roll due to the limited time that we have. We've intensified the publicity. We've told our district officers to go to the villages and encourage such persons to go back to the district offices to register. But the response is varied. Some are complaining that they cannot go back to register because the distance from where they live to the district office is quite far. Some are also saying that they don't see why they should go and re-register because they did not actually remove their names from the register. It was the court that said that, so they don't see the reason why they should go back and re-register.
Well, so how do we make up for the shortfall? I mean, 14,000 and 56,000, that's a huge gap.
We are still encouraging such persons to make sure that they get themselves re-registered. And we are also telling our major stakeholder parties to help us identify such persons so that they go and re-register, because it's a collective responsibility that we've always claimed. We cannot do it alone. We cannot identify all such persons. The political parties know exactly where these people are. So we are urging them, like they usually do during registration, where they facilitate persons to come to the registration center to register. We are also urging them to help the people get to the registration centers, the district offices, so that they can get their names on the register, because the process ends on Thursday, the 28th of July. And if they don't get their names on the roll, then that will be the end of them. Currently, as I speak to you, the Electoral Commission has not taken any decision to extend the duration. We know that the exercise is ending on Thursday, the 28th. So we're still appealing to the people concerned to troop to the various offices to make sure they register. I cannot say whether there will be extension or there will not be an extension. What I know as I speak to you is that the exercise will end on the 28th of July.
Yusuf Al-Hassan Ayuba is Assistant Head of Communications at the EC. Commenting on the process so far, the Director of Elections of the NDC, Samuel Fusampofu, cited some challenges facing the party in mobilizing the electorate to patronize the exercise. He therefore suggested an extension of the re-registration period to 3 weeks instead of the scheduled 2 weeks.
The report is that the exercise is still very slow in terms of identifying people, because it took some time before the list were made available to us. And the exercise was in its second day before we had the list. And again, we had to disaggregate the list and then go to the regions and the constituencies. So it's really a challenge, you know, because when you take the list, we don't have some address system, telephone numbering system where you can easily take a telephone and call the person and say that, look, this is your address or this is your telephone number, your name has been deleted. So you need to, you know, go into the police stations and then search for the people. And again, there are some challenges also with some constituencies where the EC doesn't have its BMS installation or machine there. So they are asked to come all the way to another district to come and re-register. And that's a huge challenge. You take a whole West and whole Central, you take Ningo from Prama and Seji and several others across the country where newly created districts do not have a VMS machine of the EC installed in the new district, and for that matter, they have been asked to come to the parent district to go and do their re-registration. And so you take whole East and West, whole Central and whole West, over 1,500 people, almost 3,000 people. How can you register all of them within 10 days when you officially have to sometimes facilitate their movement, high-track vehicles for them, to let them come and wait. Sometimes you have a situation where there is power off and then your internet system is not working and so cannot capture and so on and so forth. So indeed, my appeal is that if the Electoral Commission wants to give the affected people the real opportunity to vote, then of course, if they can extend the exercise to move alongside the exhibition exercise for the 21 days, the RAF will be able to assist in helping the people to come and re-register.
Samuel Nufusampo, who is the Director of Elections of the NDC, NPP's Director of Elections, Martin Ejimensa-Kosa, called on the EC not only to extend the re-registration period, but also provide more kits for the exercise to facilitate the process. He said if this is not done, many Ghanaians will be disenfranchised.
We bring down the curtain on the 10-day exercise somewhere around Wednesday. And the main difficulty has been the numbers that we are told have registered so far. We are looking at something around 56,000. And if the reports that we get in are credible, anything from 6,000 to 14,000 is still down. So right away, you can tell that people are going to miss the opportunity to vote, or cast their vote. We are talking of several thousands of them. It's obviously a worrying situation. I would have wished that just at the start of this exercise, we could also, as part of the preparations, have made it much easier for people. Because I did witness, especially around the central region, Ashanti region, a place like Kuniba, where over 5,000 people who were expected to be deleted and re-registered. And you had just about one or two kits. And we all know the capacity to which this machine can work in a day. It does a maximum of between 100, 150. So for a 10-day exercise with such numbers, obviously we're heading for a trouble. Same with Ashanti region, quite a number of places. So the better part of last, I recall that we all tried to help, getting to the commission, trying to help. Look, can you please send extra equipment there and there? But even that one, we were still not encouraged. So if the commission intends to extend, not just extension, but they should also consider increasing the number of registration kits. It is just a one-off thing. And we have more of these machines over. So just regroup some and take them to the affected area. Make sure that there is enough so that these long queues and the stress that people have to go through, which will make people abandon the process, is completely removed. Then, of course, maybe some education. People are supposed to be registered, but the exhibition seems to have overshadowed this. Even though I would say the exhibition even requires furthermore publicity, the bit that is being done seems to have overshadowed this exercise. People do not know that it's a two-pronged approach. We are doing both together. And so I think that not just extension we should be talking about, but also increase the number of kids with some bit of hype that, look, if you don't do it, that's just about the end for you. You cannot be part of this election. And then we can see whether we can increase the numbers.
Martin Ejimensa-Kosa is NPP's Director of Elections.
The chairperson of the Electoral Commission, Mrs. Charlotte Osei, says the EC will implement some recommendations by political parties and stakeholders as part of the process to ensure free, fair and transparent election. She said the EC will not be complacent, although it has conducted 6 successful elections. The EC chairperson was speaking at the launch of the Ghana Independent Broadcasters Association GIBA Code of Conduct in Accra. She described the code as very critical in the politically charged environment. Here is a report by Nathaniel Nati.
The 18-article Code of Conduct focuses on the promotion of the responsible use of the media by members of GIBA. The association has provided free airtime worth 100,000 CDs to the EC to enable it to use the platform to educate the public on the need to patronize the ongoing exhibition of the voters register. Mrs. Osei spoke on some reforms to be implemented by the EC for the general election.
We have accepted from the political parties and other stakeholders, and we are implementing about 8 internal reforms and 27 electoral reforms aimed at making this year's elections our best ever. Key among the reforms is a more transparent and inclusive results transmission and collation process from polling stations to the constituency and from the constituency collation centers to the more open and transparent National Results Collation Center, which will replace the previous strong group concept. Also, for the first time in our electoral history, we intend to allow television cameras into the National Results Collation Center to enable journalists to report accurately and fairly on every aspect of the results collation process. We believe this will engender even higher levels of public confidence in our electoral process.
She highlighted some salient areas of the Code of Conduct.
It is my understanding that the Code defines exactly what constitutes objectionable journalism material, as well as corruption and professionalism in the media. We at the Electoral Commission are also very pleased that the Code of Conduct prohibits hate, incitement, and insulting speech. The Code enjoins members to cross-check allegations, and it provides very specific guidelines for political and election reportage.
The chairman of the National Media Commission, Kwesi Jana-Pinton, described this year's election as a social media election. He said any attempt to ban social media on election day will be an infringement on the freedom of the media.
Social media is a useful communication tool, and it has come to stay. It is conversation writ large, and any attempt to ban it will constitute a severe infringement of the freedom of expression of Ghanaians. Having said that, we must exercise the most serious discretion in our use of social media, especially for political purposes.
The GJA president, Afel Moni, compared the GJA Code of Ethics to the GIBA Code of Conduct and said they complement each other.
We don't see the Code of Ethics for GIBA members as a duplication of ours. If anything, it complements what we have, because we believe that the laborers are few, but the harvest plentiful. And contextually, there's a need for us to synergize our efforts. There's a need for us to mobilize our people to confront the work on hand.
The president of GIBA, Akwesi Ajiman, bemoaned the negative perception of the media. There were solidarity messages from UNESCO as well as other stakeholders.
Nathaniel Nati reporting.
The Supreme Court will today announce sentences for the owners of Multi FM and 3 others who were found guilty on contempt charges. Before the sentencing was deferred today, their lawyers who pleaded for mitigation said the convicts were first-time offenders have shown remorse for their conduct. One of the lawyers, Nanatu Dabsley, pleaded with the court to be lenient with them since they have learnt their lessons, and also cautioned other media personnel to be wary of their comments. Owners of the station pleaded liable with explanation, while the other three, a host and two panelists, also pleaded liable with regret. Counsel for the directors of Multi FM explained that their clients were out of the jurisdiction at the time the panelists made those comments, adding that when their attention was drawn to the incident, they quickly apologized and also punished the host. All the convicts were granted self-recognizance bail.
Management of Graphic Communications Group Limited has apologized to Parliament for bringing its name into disrepute. The managing director, Ken Ashibe, who led the team from the company to the Privileges Committee, said their reporter aired in his story on the CI-94 after it had been laid in the House. The Speaker of Parliament, Edward Ejiofor, a few days ago, referred Graphic Parliamentary Correspondent Mark Anthony Vinokor to the Privileges Committee for allegedly reporting that Parliament had made changes to CI-94.
Sure, knowing what we know again, it will not happen again.
That was the managing director of Graphic Communications Group Limited, Ken Ashigbe. The reporter, Mark Anthony Zinoko, apologized for not doing due diligence before writing the story. Tony Vinoco, a reporter of the Daily Graphic. The chairman of the Privilege Legislative Committee, Buba Atinodro, said the committee will report to the entire House for the needed action to be taken.
Indeed, for the avoidance of that, what I'm saying is that with the apology, we don't need to even call the complainant and witnesses and so on. I mean, we just will have to deal with the matter at this stage. So, we want to thank you for attending upon this committee and more or less pleading liable. We will, on our part, do our job by preparing a report with recommendations to plenary, and as soon as we lay our report and present it, we will let you know so that come to the chamber and then we go through the necessary motions. Thank you very much.
That was the chairman of the Privileges Committee of Parliament, Ebuba Atinodro.
The former MP for Nkuranza North, Erica Mwating, has been acquitted and discharged by an Accra Circuit Court. Mr. Mwating was tried for possessing a forged passport. The court, presided over by Vivian Elenamua, said the prosecution did not provide enough evidence to prove that Mr. Mwating was indeed aware that his passport was fake when he was in jail at the time the document was prepared. She noted that during the evidence, the prosecution witnesses, which include officials from the passport office, admitted that they could not tell if the passport is forged by merely looking at it, which in fact means that Mr. Mwating had no foreknowledge of the fake document. Mr. Mwating was arrested at the Kutuka International Airport in August 2014 for possessing a forged document after serving a 10-year jail term in the U.S. for a narcotic-related offense. His lawyer, Charles Posing, said the acquittal of Mr. Mwating is a big relief to him, having spent those years in jail in the U.S. He said his client had always lamented over a possible jail term.
This news comes to you from Radio Ghana, Accra, the major stories. Re-registration of NHIS card registrants ends tomorrow. Supreme Court will today decide fate of owners of Munti FM and three others on contempt charges. President Mahama emphasizes use of dialogue as solution to Syria and Iraqi crisis. South African President Jacob Zuma to repay $540,000 for controversial renovation of home. And Argentina announces national plan to fight violence against women.
Minister of Finance, Seth Tepe, has re-emphasized that government is not setting unrealistic targets as being asserted. He says shortfalls in the budget cannot solely be blamed on projections made by government, but market and global conditions as well. He made a remark when he interacted with the Institute of Financial and Economics Journalists and the Parliamentary Press Corps in Accra. Mr. Tepe said government is committed to implementing policies that will propel the growth in the economy.
Stakeholders at the consultative forum in Accra have again stressed the need for the establishment of an integrated national biometric identification system that ensures the issuing of a multi-purpose single ID card for Ghanaians. The forum, organized by the National Development Planning Commission, NDPC, agreed to take timely steps to have the integrated ID system by 2018. The chairman of NDPC, Professor Kwesi Buchi, said the national identification system is fundamental to the development agenda of the country. Here is a report by Dominic Hologi.
The forum was attended by representatives from the DVLA, the Electoral Commission, the Police Service, Passport Office, National Identification Authority, Data Protection Commission, Death and Death Registry, among others. According to the chairman of the NDPC, Dr. Kwesi Buchi, the meeting was to assess the president's national ID systems, examine the degree of interoperability of the various systems, and take realistic actions that will result in the production of modern ID systems that will provide a single window for identification in the country.
The importance of an integrated national identification system has long been recognized and culminated in some ways in the establishment of the National Identification Authority in 2006. Unfortunately, these efforts, as I indicated, have been checked and have been characterized by a multiplicity, a proliferation of initiatives housed in different organizations and institutions, often without enough coordination and coherence. The need to harmonize and establish a truly integrated national identity system as a very important condition for policy making and especially for national development planning purposes.
The various speakers at the forum highlighted the essence of having a modern ID system that will reduce the number of cards being issued currently in the country. A deputy director at the DVLA, Kathy Semaphore, said the investment cost in data capture will be reduced if an integrated national ID system is established.
Dominic Hologi reporting.
President John Mahama suggested to Iran to strongly advocate the use of dialogue at the UN to solve the Syria and Iraqi crisis. According to President Mahama, dialogue seems the only solution rather than military intervention. The president made the suggestion at a meeting with the Iranian Foreign Minister Mohammed Zarif at Flagstaff House in Accra. Mr. Zarif, who is on a West African tour, announced additional scholarships for Ghanaian students, particularly in the sciences. Ghana has been a beneficiary of Iranian scholarships for many years. President Mahama is expressing gratitude to Iran, said such scholarship should target more females. A report by Pascaline Adadavo.
In February this year, President Mahama paid a state visit to Iran. He was the first African president to visit that country after the lifting of sanctions by the UN. On that occasion, President Mahama addressed the business forum where he invited Iranian investors to come and sample Ghana's business environment. Ghana and Iran have already signed bilaterals in the areas of agriculture and international relations. As a reciprocal visit, the Iranian Foreign Minister Mohammed Zarif is in the country with about 70 businessmen to explore the Ghanaian market. Mr. Zarif said Iran is looking for a multifaceted business collaboration with Ghana, and this means breaking new ground for mutual benefits.
I am here, Mr. President, with a large political and business delegation in order to ensure that we will implement the decisions that you and President Rouhani made during Your Excellency's visit to Iran in expanding cooperation between Iran and Ghana in all fields. We want to work with Ghana in the field of combating terrorism and extremism, in security cooperation. We've always been good friends and political partners in the non-aligned movement. Bilaterally, we are eager to work with you. We have people who are here to engage in education, in science and technology, in various fields.
President Mahama said the vision to make Ghana the gateway to Africa is on course, and so the need to grow the country's business front is crucial.
Ghana's economy is growing, it's stable, it's part of a larger West African market. And I think that looking at the whole sub-region as one market comes to about 350 million people. What Ghana wants to do is to strategically place itself so that it becomes a gateway to this 350 million people market. We came back from Iran with some specific areas in which we had identified to continue to cooperate in the petrochemical industry, in oil and gas, in modernizing agriculture, and many other areas. We are closely following up to make sure that we're able to operationalize and bring to realization these agreements that we made. I want to thank you very much for the additional scholarships. Already we have many Ghanaian students studying in Iran, and so this is going to give us even more opportunity, especially for our girls.
On Syria and Iraqi crisis, in which Iran is a major stakeholder, in talks with the United Nations, President Mahama asked Iran to propose the use of dialogue as a solution to the crisis rather than the military intervention currently being employed.
Since our last visit, I mean, so many incidents have occurred that shows that terrorism is becoming a major issue on the world's agenda. And I think that we must build strong solidarity to be able to counter some of what is happening. And so we'll continue to work with you in that regard. And we believe that the issue of Syria and Iraq must be a focus of the world's attention to try and resolve the issues there. I don't believe that there can be a military solution to the Syrian question. And so it's important that these talks that the United Nations is hosting to try and encourage dialogue to be able to resolve the Syrian issue is something that Ghana supports strongly. And we know that Iran is a major stakeholder in these talks. And so we want to continue to encourage you to play your part so that we can bring an end to this humanitarian crisis that is currently occurring. And at any stage, you can rest assured that Ghana stands with you.
The Iranian Foreign Minister Mohammad Zarif has since left Accra. For Radio Ghana, Pascaline Adadevu.
South Africa's High Court has ordered President Jacob Zuma to repay government $540,000 for the controversial renovations made to his private home in Kandla, in the northern KwaZulu-Natal province. The Treasury calculated amount after getting independent experts to establish how much Mr. Zuma should pay back for building a swimming pool visitor center, a chicken run, and cattle enclosure.
Argentine President Mauricio Macri has announced a national plan to fight violence against women. Mr. Macri said every 37 hours, a woman is attacked in Argentina, and that education is key to ending deeply rooted cultural patterns of violence.
Ghana's Midiama S yesterday breathed life into their CAF Confederation Cup campaign when they handed visiting young Africans of Tanzania 3-1 at the second day sports stadium at Isipon. The victory, together with the 1-1 they secured in their first meeting with the Tanzanian side a week ago in Dar es Salaam, has brought the Takwa Bay side closer to a semi-final berth with 2 matches left to complete the group stage.
To end the news, the main points again. The re-registration of NHIS card registrants will end tomorrow. Speaking to Radio Ghana, the assistant head of communications at the EC, Isifaiba, said so far 14,801 people have re-registered. Said the commission is not satisfied with the level of patronage that could not tell whether the period will be extended or not. The news was presented by Abraham Donko
and Ibrahim Kwatin in Accra.